Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, joined by our friend and industry legend, Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, I got to say, it was a pleasure spending time with you last week. Of course, this episode's not going to come out for another couple, but you've been in the industry a while. People love you. They respect you. So thanks for taking your time and hanging out.
It was just so the listeners know that prior to this episode, we were at the ISA, the International Society of Arboriculture's annual conference, international conference, which I look forward to every year. It's a great time to meet up. A lot of great education tracks, fun sightseeing, usual location like Albuquerque. I've never been there before, but you know, it was good. It was fun. It was a week long. I did the ITCC, which to our listeners at the International Tree Climbing Championship. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. 83 climbers, 20 something countries represented. And it even transferred into the conference. It's amazing how large ISA has grown. And I wanted to say that obviously ISA is coming up, they're 99 years old, coming up on a 100-year anniversary. But I think our guest today works for an organization in the industry that has some other incredible milestones coming up also. So instead of, let's just bring him on, Corey, if you take the honors of introducing our guest today, we'll just roll right on into it.
Perfect. And this is kind of going to be part of a three-part series as we work our way to TCI Expo. It's, I believe, in November, St. Louis, and we'll be talking about it, plugged it in as much as we can between now and then. But our guest today has a big role at that company and in the industry. So I would like to bring in our friend of the show. This is Peter Gerstenberger, all the way from TCI Association. Peter, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you. Joe, when you started talking about that significant anniversary, I thought you were going to lead into me next.
I've been around about that too.
Pretty long.
It's not been 100 years, though.
Maybe not quite that long. Not quite. Just a little short.
Yeah. I do know that since I have been in the industry, in one way, shape, or form, you have also. And to the listeners, a TCIA stands for Tree Care Industry Association, which is an amazing organization, and hence why we wanted to have you on, Peter, to kind of talk about pre-TCIA, where you got into the green industry and how you got involved with TCIA, if you don't mind.
Sure. I was an arborist. I am an arborist. But at one time, I was a practicing arborist, and I got my start in the Midwest, in Iowa. And like a lot of arborists, I backed into this job. I had no idea that such a job even existed. I was a biology major in college and emphasis on plant ecology, and I was looking for a job that would get me outside in the summer, and started looking around in my hometown of Des Moines. I saw a big national company was advertising positions, and I went in there, and their general manager said, no, we don't have any place for somebody with no experience. And then I wandered across the other side of town to a small residential commercial company. And I guess maybe the hair should have gone back on the back of my neck when they said, oh yeah, well, you know, can you start today? With absolutely no experience. And it was a great experience. In total, it was a great experience working for that company, where I did that for 4 years before going back to grad school. And in that company, I got to do everything. As you can imagine, in a small company, in about 6 months, I became the scheduler and the general foreman for the whole company. And so I'd schedule and route all the crews in the morning, old school, on a map. And then I'd set off and I'd do my own stuff.
Okay.
At the time, I was the only person that could pass the pesticide applicator exam. So by default, I became the pesticide applicator. And I did a lot of other stuff for the company too, climbing, tree fertilization, you know, what today we would call PHC.
It's rare in this industry to have an arborist that practices on a regular basis both. So early in your career, it's kind of exciting to hear you talk about PHC so quickly and climbing, which direction you went. And I think it's a unique quality when you do both. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you really become the well-rounded arborist and really understand different perspectives if you can do both. Not that that's necessarily for everybody. My boss didn't want me climbing trees at all. I think, frankly, selfishly, he knew I could make more money for him if I was just fertilizing trees and spraying pesticide all day long. But I really had a hankering to climb. I taught myself to climb. Did a lot of things wrong, like a lot of arborists too, you know, in those early days. And I went on from there. When I left that company and after grad school, I went on to become a trainer with the Davy Company at the time. And ironically, I taught climbing.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not know that you were part of the Davy
family for a while. Yeah, at the time, it was a division of the company that they referred to as Environmental Services, which has since gone away. And I think to some extent been replaced by what they now call Davy Resource Group. But, okay. You know, we did similar things. We did engage in a lot of training. We did consulting, some kind of peripheral stuff that for the company.
And I want to tell you a quick story.
I'm sorry.
We were at ISA and, you know, Steve Geist.
Yes. Yes.
So Steve was
formerly Swingle. Yeah.
Yeah. Was prestigiously awarded a Merit of Arboriculture Award by ISA.
Mm-hmm.
And his presenter was Lauren Lanfear. So what's funny is Lauren does a great job as a presenter. And you mentioned that your first application, they told you no.
Yes.
Or it wasn't a fit. So Lauren gets up and reads this article. Dear Stephen, thank you for application, blah, blah, blah. But at this time, no. Good luck in your endeavors. Signed, sincerely, Lauren Lanfear.
From 40 years previous. Yeah.
Yeah, 40 years ago. So Lauren actually declined an opportunity for working at Lanfear. Or, oh my God, what was Lauren's company's dad? His dad's name?
Forest City Tree Protection.
Cleveland. So I thought that was funny that your first was a no. And you continue to stay in the industry. It wasn't what I'm trying to get to is that every no opens a door for another opportunity.
Yeah. And I'm so glad it did.
Yeah. And I think Steve's pretty happy that he got turned down. No, not that he wouldn't have had a great life at Lauren's company. It opens up the door. So that's actually pretty exciting.
Well, let's dive into that. Let's talk about that next, Peter. You spent, I know it wasn't quite, I think it was 37 or 38 years with TCIA.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for that organization? Or maybe first off, what does the organization do? Just for a couple sentences. And then what did you do for that organization before you got to senior VP?
Sure. Well, your listeners can't see it. I have a big plaque on the wall behind me commemorating my 25th anniversary. And one of the persons who wrote in the margins of the plaque said, well, you did the newsletter, you did the magazine, you've been the staff arborist, you've done videos, you've done this, you've done that. He said, boy, you just can't hold a job. Well, yeah, because aside from being the accountant or the CEO, I've held pretty much every position in this organization that there was. I mean, at one point we were small enough that I was the marketing department. So right now, in my present position as senior VP of industry support, I oversee the publication, the magazine. So I'm the publisher of TCI magazine. I asked to be, and I am currently the director of Expo, which just means I have oversight of some very capable people who run that show, and I don't have to do too much work, but just provide mentoring and so forth. I also oversee our training and credentialing department, so development of all our training programs and credentialing programs. I was there at the beginning of the CTSP program, for instance, and helped start that I was just fortunate enough to be around at the time to do that. So yeah, I started as a staff arborist, and you know, did video training and slides and wrote, et cetera, and have progressed through the years to do touch virtually everything that we do today.
It has grown to quite the industry support group.
Yep.
Now, it wasn't always called TCIA.
Right. The original name. Yeah.
Go back.
So we were founded in 1938 as the National Arborist Association. Ironically, the formative group for our organization met in a hotel lobby at an ISA conference, which I think at the time was called the Shade Tree Conference.
National Shade Tree Conference.
Yeah. So we were originally penned, we were the National Arborist Association, and we were that from 1938 until about 2003. 2003, we had been running, publishing the magazine for 13 years, running a trade show for 13 years, both of which were branded Tree Care Industry. And at the time, it just seemed to make sense. There's a little fun anecdote. Sometime immediately prior to 2003, our organization received a bomb threat.
Whoa.
From somebody who is opposed to abortion and obviously couldn't spell well. And I don't know if that wasn't necessarily the thing that put us over the edge, but we said, no, you know, more people identify with Tree Care Industry than they do with National Arborist. And so we decided to change our name and go through a rebranding in 2003. And so 20 years later, here we are.
Now, I will say that I've been around a little bit longer than a lot. Man, I love the old logo.
Yes.
It would be interesting to show the logo through the years, like mm-hmm. in a historical piece. Corey, I'm not sure if you've ever seen it. It's kind of a leaf, inverted leaf pattern-ish. But if you ever get a chance, check it out. I have, and if I dug deep enough, I actually have back. I used to work for the Chaz F. Irish Company.
Okay.
I believe Chaz Irish might have been the first.
He was one of our founding members.
Yeah. So I worked for the company, and every one of his trucks that they still had in the yard when I worked there, it was the late 80s, all had the NAA logo still on the truck.
Yeah. Right.
So let's dive into that. So you met at an ISA conference, and obviously we're friends of the podcast. A lot of our listeners are certified licensed arborists. What made TCI want to start their own organization?
Well, it was actually fairly simple. The folks in that room were all in commercial arborists and commercial arboriculture. As you can appreciate, in 1938, the Shade Tree Conference was itself much smaller and therefore probably less diversified than it is right now. And this group just said simply, the ISA does such wonderful things for its members, encourages networking among, you know, all its members. We'd like to emulate that same thing, only focus on the commercial tree care sector. So have that same sort of value for the commercial tree care sector. And that's what they endeavored to do.
And they've been doing it, and well put, well said. And yeah, they have been true to that cause for however many 80 years, whatever it's been, for sure.
I should probably go on record and say I've been an ISA member longer than I've worked here.
Oh, cool.
So I recognize the value of both organizations. I really do. And simply, they serve different missions.
Right, right.
And there's room for both of them.
I think you're right. And one of the big things at the ISA the national event Corey and I were just at, the partnership between the tree industry, there's a lot more people to bring in to share value of arboriculture and urban forestry. And they put a list up of 8 or 9 of them up there. Even the United Utility Arbor Association, you know, mm-hmm. UAA. And I'm thinking, oh my God, there's so many other organizations now involved taking a role alongside of trees for different purposes. And I think it's actually pretty incredible if you think about the beginning start of all these organizations to where we are now. And I'll have to say that, you know, if you have never made it to a TCI expo, wow.
Yeah.
You can get lost.
Yeah.
It's quite the experience.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. This year we're, as I said, I don't know if I should go as far as to say I appointed myself expo director, but I suggested it to my boss and he didn't say no. But as expo director, so I have oversight of all these things. Yeah, I was just doing the calculation the other day. Our the space we rented just for the trade show floor, is 7.5 football fields.
What?
Yeah, it's 425,000. Check my math, but 425,000 square feet of exhibit area. Now we don't have every square inch of that covered, but we have most of it covered, and it's the largest area we've ever had.
Yeah, because when we Corey and I had Amy on, we tried to record a podcast 2 years ago, Corey? It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think at that time you were at 305,000 square foot.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And now we can't even contemplate holding a show in anything less than 300,000 square feet. Now, this includes a dome. We call it the Demo Dome. It used to be where the Indianapolis Colts played, I think. I can't remember the last football team that was in it. And they have monster truck rallies and so forth. But for our purposes, we have a giant space with a 112-foot ceiling that we get to run equipment in undercover. Wow. That's awesome. So that's definitely an element of the show that we've not had. And it's going to be quite fun, quite interesting.
Well, especially in, you think, November in the Midwest, it could be 60 degrees out. It could be 20 below with snow. Who knows? So
exactly.
You. Good work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Peter, if you had to, this is a question I had recently to some industry leaders and legends of industry. If you had to guess, there's another purpose why I'm asking, manufacturers, suppliers to these expos, if you went back, who are some of the manufacturers, tree care suppliers that probably have been around with you the longest?
Well, that's actually relatively simple. A good friend of ours, Richard Goforth at Southco Industries, has been around since the inception. Yeah. Altec, the Altec company, has been around since the inception. Moget.
Yeah,
they were around at the beginning. There had Morbark, Bandit, Vermeer, all those major manufacturers have been around at least that long and in most cases much longer. Some have gone away. There used to be Aerial Lift of Milford, Connecticut. It was a wonderful aerial lift. That company just went away, dissolved. The assets were purchased, I think, by Altec. So it's a lot of people that I remember from the very early days who are still involved in one capacity or another. And a lot of the faces change. Obviously, we stick boom cranes, knuckle boom cranes, compact knuckle booms, grapple saws, all those things weren't even around when we started. And so that's a new dimension that we've seen relatively recently.
Yeah, if you think about, obviously as the industry evolved, and it's a tough lesson for a lot of manufacturers, either you evolve with it or you perish.
Mm-hmm.
You think about in early days when Garwood was building tree care trucks that would pick the root ball up and put it on the back, and bean sprayers used to be the state of the art, and I know they're still out there, but they're just not. It's amazing. I just wanted to bring it up because there are some vendors, some manufacturers that have been through the test of time that have evolved with the industry, and they're still serving the industry 75 to 100 years later.
Back in the mid-70s, late-70s, I was pulling a 300-gallon John Bean sprayer with a 750-gallon-a-minute pump, I think it was. And it's Bean 7086 hose, or 7086
Gun.
Yeah. I mean, I think they still make those.
I have one of the original that was given to me that was hanging on a wall at Michigan State University Forestry's shed. And they're like, well, I'm going to use that. I'm like, well, Joe would. So I got that at the museum.
Well, and you know, these manufacturer reps and the company that Joe and I represent, it has adapted over years. I think TCI Expo, you know, even did a virtual deal a couple of years back. So, you've had to grow and adapt too. What are some trends that you're seeing now that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have expected to see when you got into the deal 40 years ago?
Certainly mechanization. The extent we see it now is a, frankly, a relatively recent development. I mean, we've had what, bucket trucks since the 50s and chippers since the 50s. Some of those things kind of born out of necessity or came to the fore because of some other major event in urban forestry and arboriculture. For instance, Dutch elm disease probably engendered more aerial lift trucks and more chippers than any other single cause. You know, the trend we see toward mechanization now is really driven by the worker shortage safety. I mean, you have to be able to do more with less people, that is.
It's funny that you brought up chippers, because I recently agreed to unload a trailer full of brush for my cousin. Mm-hmm. Up at my property, I got a compost pile. He's like, Joe, do you mind if I put it up there? I says, yeah, I'll unload it next time I go up there. I finally realized, it dawned on me exactly why I don't load brush in a trailer in the back of the pickup no more. And he didn't stack it there any other way. So you think about the need to develop something. I bet you whoever developed the chipper was so sick and tired of pulling branches out of the back of something. He's like, there's got to be a better way.
Well, and you know, you talk about safety too. So Peter, to capitalize on that, so safety and a labor shortage, a lot of those chippers now, you know, are either self-feeding or you can feed, you know, one individual could feed the thing, keep it running and be looking, you know, doing the safety checks and all that. We've had Bill Weber from Arborware come on and he's talked about how clothing has changed so much. And, you know, one of the more recent developments that they've had is, it used to be, you know, everybody was in a red t-shirt or a dark green or dark blue t-shirt, but now he's seeing bright colors because safety is at the forefront of everybody's idea. And the speaker lineup, there are some really good trainers. There's some really good speakers coming up. So with a good focus on safety.
We try to get the folks that are at the cutting edge of those, whether it be safety or business, some other aspect of business or, you know, just arboriculture or plant healthcare. Try to get those people who are the innovators, who are, you know, out in front and leading in those areas. Yeah, I'm really proud of the fact that we built the robust program that we have. We have something like 40 speakers. I just have to share that the reason I originally got into this work, the reason I originally went to work for Davey was because I worked for this little company out in the Midwest that was at the time quite isolated from where everything happened. My boss went to an ISA conference in Hartford, Connecticut one year, and he came back and it was as if he'd seen Jesus, or gone to Mecca. And, he just was transformed by that experience. And I've always been in that position that I wanted to try to connect the knowledge base with the folks who need it the most, you know, and those are the folks who were in the field every day sweating out a living. Maybe not sweating as much as they used to when I did it, but sweating nonetheless, you know, to make their lives better and easier. And so, yeah, here we are. And with a 425,000 square foot trade show floor and 40 speakers. And it's all about trying to better the lives of the folks in the industry.
Peter, have you ever done the data at ISA? They talked about 22 countries represented. So now there's chapters all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
How international has TCI Expo expanded to? Do you guys have statistics on, are they coming from around the world now?
They certainly come from around the world. We don't, really keep statistics on our foreign visitors to Expo, but we do have anecdotal information. So every year we have a good smattering of folks. Oh, we have a contingent from Canada, of course, that that are with us every year, but every year we have a good smattering from Northern Europe, from the Central American or Latin American countries, good smattering, Brazil. You know, you look at where ISA has formed a chapter recently, and at or about the time they were contemplating forming that chapter, we had people visiting. I was invited to speak in Brazil twice, before there was a Brazil chapter. But it was all in that idea of, hey, this is a real thing. This arbor culture is something that we need to pay attention to, and we need to pay attention to our trees. And how do we do that? And we do that. We start by bringing in people who can tell us how to do it. And I was really privileged to be able to go down there a couple of times and speak to that group.
Okay, Peter, just two things. I know we're kind of winding down our topic and our discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the first thing is, as we are looking to actively, you know, raise the bar in the industry, what would you tell people to, maybe they haven't been to Expo yet? I mean, it's far enough ahead. They can get tickets. They can make reservations. What kind of advice, or where would you suggest somebody starts?
I'll start with an anecdote about Expo this year. Again, being privileged to be the Expo director, I could kind of dictate that we do certain things. And one of the things we've actually truly always tried to do is shine a light on the local organization when we're in any given venue. So we invited the St. Louis Arborists Association in to have a booth. And the reason I say all that is because I feel one of the most important things one can do to better oneself in this industry is to network, to learn from one's peers. And if, in a sense, Expo and our other meetings are just a big means or way of facilitating that, bringing people together so that they can learn from one another. I don't care who you are. There's something you can learn to better yourself from folks at a meeting like this. And I guess if you do the math, the more people you bring together, the better the chances are that there's going to be those networking opportunities and somebody's going to be improved as a result.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Peter, it's been an honor to have you on with us today.
Hey.
I know that we've crossed paths so many times.
Sure.
The millions of people that you cross paths, it might be tough to keep an eye on them all.
Oh, I have to have name badges, believe me.
Yeah. But I don't want to throw out, Corey and I, we get the opportunity to network with your staff, you know, from Amy, John, Bob, even David. You got a great staff that work for TCI.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting, did you say TCI or TCIA?
So TCI is the magazine. TCIA is the organization.
All right. So I didn't want to mess it up. So you have a really great staff. I love working with
them.
And I can't thank you enough for coming on today.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity and look forward to seeing you both and hearing you both at Expo.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.